Hi, I'm Tim Peter, and welcome to Search Chat, Solo Segment's podcast dedicated to all things search, AI, and content marketing related. Who is Solo Segment? Well, we're a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. You can learn more at solosegment.com. In this episode of Search Chat, Solo Segment CEO Steve Zaker and I talk about how, at its core, search is intent, and how you can use that intent to create a better customer experience for your customers. We also talk about how that intent relates to site search, how you can tie all of that together to create a better customer experience, and also look at some top headlines. All that and more on Search Chat, coming at you right now. Well, hi, Steve. How are you doing today?
I am doing well and much better than last week. Thanks for asking.
That's so good. No chicken soup today?
No chicken soup. I'm good to go. How about yourself?
I am doing exceedingly well. I really appreciate you asking. You know, given that we were talking about chicken soup, imagine, if you will, that you own a diner or you own a deli, and a customer comes in and says, "I'd like some chicken soup."
Right? I see where you're going with this.
You see where I'm going with this, Steve?
You bet.
You know, what do you think would be the appropriate thing to do if this were your diner or deli?
Well, you know, I definitely go with the chicken soup, but knowing me, I might serve myself a cheeseburger. But yeah, I think the visitor or customer intent is pretty clear in that situation. So yeah, score high, deliver what they want.
Right. And yet, suddenly there's all this discussion about intent-based marketing.
Yeah.
As if it were this really new idea, as if it were really, you know, something that companies and businesses haven't tried to do for a long time. So, and emphasis on the word tried here,
sure.
But, you know, but I'd love your take on, you know, the practice of intent-based marketing, where it has value and where maybe people need to think about it a little differently based on what businesses have long tried to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is amazing that which is old is new again. you know, I was talking to an executive. He was in the financial services industry about a week or two ago. And one of the points of discussion came to this notion of intent-based marketing, because we're doing some content recommendation, and and his point of view was like, well, really what you're doing is you're taking a lot of this intent data and, you know, kind of translating it into content recommendations that are aligned with visitor intent. He goes, and that's like really big in intent-based marketing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had kind of missed a lot of the early writing on this, kind of became a thing again back in January, February of last year. So about a year ago, right, this kind of entered the marketing lexicon again. But it really is amazing that it has to be said again, that maybe paying attention to what the intent of your visitors is an important thing. And I think digital, you know, like kind of everything on the planet, right, goes through cycles. And, and you know, we are, I think, to a certain extent, you know, as digital becomes part of our, you know, kind of way of, well, I was going to say doing business, but managing our lives is kind of the answer. But as it becomes that, right, we have to take some of those old lessons and reapply them in new ways. And it might be that intent-based marketing is new again because the data is finally available in a way that I think people can mobilize it to solve their business problems. And, you know, Google is kind of the first organization that really began to talk about intent-based marketing, how they were going to kind of use intent to kind of in their algorithm in some magical way. Of course, they never disclose exactly how they're going to do it. But, you know, that's kind of what caught everybody's attention. And, you know, again, when we think about it, you know, we've always long said that, you know, website search is the first personalized experience. And I probably say that almost every podcast, but, you know, it's the first time when somebody says...
There is a good reason for that, actually.
Well, yeah, they come to your website, you're the local deli, they come to your website, and they say, please deliver some chicken soup, right? And so, yeah, you'd probably be well-served to actually deliver chicken soup to them, right? Because so it's that first statement of intent. You don't have to guess what they want. You can actually present them. And now we have more and more data, right? We have more and more data in the ecosystem that allows us to divine intent, whether that's a search term, whether that's a hashtag, whether that's a, you know, whatever, you know, we could laundry list all those sorts of data that are available in the environment to help us discern intent. But now we can do it. And now the question is, okay, now what? What do you do with it to make the visitor experience better, the likelihood of conversion greater, the likelihood of a visitor being satisfied higher?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And I think it's interesting that you start with search. You know, because at least from my perspective, search is intent. You know, you mentioned Google's algorithm. There's a well-known use case that Google has. I don't know if they've explicitly stated, but I've definitely heard people from Google make reference to this. That, you know, to use a perfect example. So let's say we have a scenario where a customer searches for, say, hotels in New York, the plural of the word.
Right.
You know, we know, and Google's pretty much made it clear, that no individual hotel can show up for that search. And the reason being, because the customer said, hotels. They said, I'm looking for variety. I'm looking for, you know, a range of options available to me.
Right.
Whereas if they search for, you know, best hotel in New York, obviously that's going to be a very tough keyword for people to rank for. It's going to be very hard to show up if you're an individual hotel. But the opportunity exists for you to appear because the opportunity exists for you to be the right answer. Whereas when they explicitly tell you, I'm looking for choice, I'm looking for variety, clearly the opportunity does not exist because by default, a single instance of a hotel cannot possibly be the right answer to match the intent that that customer had.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, absolutely.
And there are loads of searches where similar things exist. And, you know, we've seen the same thing, and it'd be interesting for you to talk about when we look at search data for site search. You know, you can infer customer intent in many cases based on the sorts of questions they're asking. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's always very interesting to go look at search data, especially keyword data. And we have one client in particular. They have a large body of standards documentation. It's kind of the way to look at it, about product safety. Mm-hmm. And when you look at especially the long tail, so these are the infrequent terms on the website, you notice a pattern about a lot of those. You know, 20-30% of those are this alphanumeric pattern that is E and then some number, some six-digit number after mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, every company who has a long tail has something that looks like this, right? It's either a product number or it's, you know, something, right? You have something that's numbered on your website. And what's really interesting about that is, first, you know, recognizing the pattern, good. So you've got this body of content, and is that body of content generally findable? And if it's not, you want to do something about that.
Right.
But what is interesting is we noticed that you could optimize, of course, the results to provide, you know, search results that are very specific to each of those numbers, right? So maybe you could crawl and extract the actual document that relates to that number. But of course, this company has that all behind a paywall because that's their product.
And, oh, yeah, right? Of course.
So they're not going to show it to you. But what you should be doing is recognizing, oh, the intent of the person entering this is to get to a very specific user experience where they can download that. So why not present them with that user experience? So instead of trying to optimize the result, optimize the experience. And so deliver to them, you know, and what we did for them was we said, hey, listen, there should be something at the top of your search results that delivers a link to the customer experience where they can actually then purchase and download those documents. And so that's just a kind of one way of that. I think many companies can look at their search results and say, and look for those patterns, because there are some very clear patterns of intent when people type in those very specific things. And I think many companies, especially commerce related companies, can be fairly good at this, because they realize, hey, if you're putting in a part number, you want one of two things. You want to buy the part, or you want support for the part. So, right.
Right.
So that right. seems like a very obvious way to deliver it. And you see that in a large number of cases that kind of commerce-based companies do that. But again, it's something to pay attention to.
Well, and I think you raise a great point in terms of, I don't know why I sound so surprised about that. You often raise great points, Steve.
Thank you, Tim.
But I do what I can here. I'm just remembering who signs the checks.
There you go.
But you know, you make such a good point about this idea of, rather than optimizing the result, optimize the experience.
Right.
I mean, that's just such a spot on point of what is the customer trying to accomplish? You know, we keep going back to the silly chicken soup joke I started with, you know, but if somebody comes in and says, hey, I'd like some chicken soup, even if you don't have chicken soup, the right answer isn't to tell them to, you know, go away. The right answer is to say, you know what? We're all out of chicken soup today. Can I offer you some nice minestrone?
Right,
can I offer you, you know, something else that's a reasonable substitute, so that you're optimizing that experience?
Yeah,
you bet. I think that's a really great point.
And there's another way you can look at that too. I walk into the same place and say, gee, I'm not feeling too good today. Right. So now how do you make sure that then translates into a product recommendation
or
a content recommendation that says, ah, you're not feeling well today. Soup. That's what you need. And by the way, we do have chicken soup. So you're going to recommend that over the chili, say.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up. I use this example all the time. And this is a two-parter. One, I use the example of something Amazon does all the time, where if you do a search for, you know, gifts for Father's Day, gifts for Mother's Day, gifts for Valentine's Day, they have a series of landing pages that are clearly curated experiences around that.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And A, it's brilliant because it speaks to optimizing for the experience. B, it's brilliant because there is, you think about what Amazon does, and this is going to be true of a lot of companies generally, the content itself typically doesn't have the words Father's Day or Mother's Day or Valentine's Day in the product descriptions or in the content where it would be a logical response. But they clearly saw people search for this. And so how do we go ahead and provide them a great experience for that? They've also thought about, how do we make sure a good result comes up that optimizes that experience overall? Mm-hmm. And finally, and this is something that B2B companies need to remember, that we see lots of data. There is lots of data that shows you compete with all the experiences your customers have everywhere online, right? So
interesting.
When a customer goes to Amazon and they have that experience, they immediately start to ask the question, why doesn't everything work this way?
Yeah, yeah.
So your competition isn't the other B2B company who, you know, your customers might be using. It's not a replacement for the part or service that you offer. It's the experience that they get everywhere else, and they begin to question whether or not you're a good answer if you're not actually helping them when they have those problems. Mm-hmm. And that can cause you to bleed customers and cause you loss, because they go looking elsewhere simply because the experience isn't great.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's root cause. I mean, that last issue is kind of root cause as to why so few B2B visitors on websites use search, because the bar is set so high on the B2C product side. And right. I mean, generally B2B search is lousy. I mean, it's not just that it's not as good, it's actually awful. But that said, you know, they've been well trained because that bar is so abysmally low, you know, on the B2B side, but set so high by, say, Amazon, that, you know, or Google, right? One or the other.
Right.
The visitors just naturally say, you know what, I'm going to opt out. I'm going to leave your site that you work so hard to get me to, and I'm going to go back to where your competitors live so they can get another shot at it.
Well, and it's funny because this has broad implications in that And I don't have any specific insight that, you know, Amazon's suddenly going to enter your business wherever it is, whatever it might happen to be. But, you know, there are two data points that we ran across last week. The first is that B2B e-commerce in this country is six times as large as B2C. Right? It's much, much more significant in terms, in revenue terms, because obviously the purchase prices tend to be higher, but also customers tend to expect that kind of experience. And so there's been this broad transition there. And then the second one, of course, is that Jeff Bezos has famously said many times, your margin is my opportunity.
Right.
So if, you know, if we've got this business that's six times larger, you look at the businesses that Amazon has gotten into, you look at the businesses that Google has gotten into, and it's entirely possible at some point they could say, well, we want to be your distribution channel too, and start to move into that space in a way that you may not want because you want to control that connection with the customer.
Yeah, you know, it'll be very interesting to see, especially in the more transactional B2B businesses, how aggressively Amazon does move into that space. I mean, we have, I was talking to a large, I mean, this is a heavy industry company last week. They're a supplier to companies like Boeing and Caterpillar and whatnot. But they are a pretty transactional business because they're making major components to these large, heavy machinery. And, you know, they do a lot of replacement parts. They do modules and stuff that they plug in. And if they were purely the manufacturer of those things, maybe they could not be disintermediated. But where there's like a robust parts business, that seems like a place where it's probably high enough margin that would be great opportunity for somebody like Amazon to move into. So that risk is very real.
So to bring it back to where intent-based marketing comes into play, and this idea of search is intent fundamentally, you know, there's this old notion of the scent trail. When we talk about customers and their experience online, you know, which I've never loved the analogy because it tends to equate our customers with dogs. And I don't generally think that's what we want to do.
Sure.
Right?
The bloodhound is a lovely animal, but
but for those of you who've never heard about the scent trail, the idea is, if you remember those movies where, you know, the protagonist, you know, the main character escapes from prison, and the guards release the hounds to go and try and follow them. And of course, the person who has escaped is, you know, running through the woods and running through the river and things along those lines, trying to disguise their trail, right? Trying to disguise their scent trail. Well, in business, in commerce, we want to do exactly the opposite. Your customer comes in with a specific intent. They have a problem that they need to solve for. And especially when they start with search, they've gone ahead and told you right up front what that actually is. And, you know, it's generally a really good idea to continue that trail and make it easy for them, such that you have, you know, the right keywords in your headlines, that you have the right keywords in the copy and in your calls to action. You know, when we talk about people starting on organic search, generally speaking, you get it right on the first page because you wouldn't show up in organic search if you didn't.
Yeah.
But we see on paid search, you tend to have to buy your way to the top when you don't do a good job of it.
Yeah.
And on either, on any channel that comes in, what happens on subsequent pages often breaks that. And then you've effectively become the prisoner who's dodged the bloodhounds, which is exactly the opposite of what you really want in these circumstances.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, when you look at, and I love the analogy because you're right. I mean, if you do organic really well, and if you do organic really well and your search engine and your search team is, you know, got your search engine running correctly, you should have those similar results internally as well, right? That first page is going to be spot on. But it's a journey, right? Everything is a journey. And, you know, what you want is to help them achieve their goal. And that first page is just, you know, it's, they walked into the diner, right? They walked in the diner and they asked for the chicken soup, but you still got to think about, well, gee, did they want something with that, right? Let's work with the analogy, right? Does the chicken soup hit the table? Is it warm? Right? Do they get the dessert? Right? Are they getting out of the place without slipping and falling on the pavement? And does their car not get dinged in the park? But there's an entire journey there that occurs. And yes, it's great to use that intent data if you are using it for that first step, get the search results right. But it really is thinking about what are the next steps? And that's one of the things we begin to look at is everybody has all this data. And the way we gather data is we put our own JavaScript on our webpage. I mean, we could gather data from and integrate with various source systems within the client, but we've always felt pretty strongly that we should gather that data directly so that we have it in our systems. You know, one that's easier for us and the client. So kind of everybody wins in that situation. But what it's given us the ability to do is to begin to look at, yeah, what happens after the click? What happens on the second page and the third page of the journey? How do you then begin to make the right content recommendations beyond search and make sure that experience is extending beyond search so that people are achieving their goals? And you're going to reduce the bounces, you're going to reduce the exits. And all things being equal, if you keep them at the top of the funnel, you know, a certain percentage are going to progress and fall out at the bottom. And so anything you can do to use that intent data to optimize the rest of the journey, not just that first step, that gets you business, right?
Right.
That gets you ringing the register, whether that's they're calling a rep or downloading the white paper or putting something in a cart if you're kind of that kind of business. Mm-hmm. But it gets you the business. And that really is where I think we need to be thinking about intent-based marketing and intent-based content recommendation like we do, is how do you not just get the person started on the journey, but how do you get them to complete the journey?
Well, and I'd love for you to build on that, Steve, because you talk about this a lot, this idea of not just conversion, but this idea of task completion, right? Because it's not only the business objective, but it is what is the customer objective. So I'd love for you to just expand on that a little bit and talk about why that's so important as well.
It's the goal, right? At the end of the day, it is, you know, we all need to keep in mind what is the goal of our customers, right? And again, search is one way to get some information about their area of interest, you know, and you can talk about how intense a component of interest. But really, at the end of the day, it's driving them down to some goal. And every goal is achieved through some sort of journey. You know, certainly B2C journeys are generally pretty short, especially these days. Consumers are smart, right? They know what they want before they get there. I mean, I don't have any great insight into Amazon's data, but I suspect that the number of people who say, no, that's not what I want, I want this other thing. I mean, you know, I got to tell you, I just think about my own Amazon behavior. 90% of it's got to be repurchase. And the 20% that isn't repurchase is generally, I want an iPhone 10. I don't go there and kind of think about it too much. But regardless, I mean, especially when you're looking at B2B, right? These are high consideration products. There's a lot of information to consume about the product to really understand it. And something like 85% of that understanding sort of behavior, the awareness and sometimes the consideration behavior, 85% of that incurs before anybody engages, you know, someone at the company where they're going to make a purchase.
Right.
So how do you connect somebody from, I did a search, whether I did that on Google or I did that on your website, I'm looking at a piece of content. How do you connect that moment to the thing that allows them to contact your sales rep, fill out the form, you know, whatever it is that gets them to kind of the next step?
Right.
And the way you do that is the same way you kind of discerned intent, is you look at your data because it's in there. We've looked at different, you know, extracting content from websites, looking at different content types. And you can see in the data of your web content where the forms are, where the downloads, where the, you know, other sort of actions are that people can take that are what we call tasks. And by the way, we call them tasks because calling them goals kind of has a connotation, which, you know, say is more associated with marketing campaigns and
a monetary value,
or quite frankly, and we certainly don't call them, you know, cart drops generally.
Right.
So
right.
we think of them as tasks because there's lots of different kinds of tasks that occur on a website, but you can extract that data from your own content. And now once you've extracted that data, well, now you have some bookends, right? You have some intent and you have a task that could be associated with that intent. And the way you connect those two things is with the data about your visitor journeys. And kind of working down and up, you can look for patterns in the data that connect these two things. And for us, you know, we have a very strong thesis that if you do look into your data, that you are going to see patterns, maybe not for every visitor, but you're going to see enough patterns where you can make content recommendations and what we're now calling intent-based content recommendations that make the connection between a stated intent and the task that is associated with that intent. And so that's where we're focusing on our investment.
It makes total sense. Well, and you know, I think it's fair to talk about, there was a controversy this week involving our good friends at Google that really speaks to one of the reasons we think this is the right approach, because they're kind of doing the same thing with, you know, with when people do certain types of searches, of actually using the featured snippet. So the answer box, the rich snippet, yes, whatever term you prefer to use for that, to actually answer the question, right? Before people ever go to the site where the content existed.
Yes.
And they're doing some really interesting stuff there. And it's kind of the same thing, right? They're short-circuiting and saying, okay, we know what their intent is. How do we get them to that task completion right away?
Kudos for like customer focus, right? Because I go there and I get the answer. This is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm the content owner, I think,
yeah,
I feel like you broke the sacred compact between Google and content owners, right? Because the deal is, I let you present my content because you are going to let me have a shot at your searchers. And right, I'm all for that. But if you give the answer without giving me credit, oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. It's the kind of thing we look at and say, okay, great. We think we're on the right path because Google is doing something very similar. And also we think we're on the right path because we have to be a good answer. Otherwise people will go to Google every time and never use us. Right. And I don't mean us as Solo Segment. I mean us as an end result of where the search should ultimately lead them, an end result of what, well, to use the same term we've used all throughout this, the customer's intent aligns with.
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, if a company can do what Google does, they are going to win, because it almost becomes, you know, everything is search, right? Because if you can get somebody come to your website and say, you know, I am interested in X and you have X, and you can forget about, you know, does your content have, you could dynamically, I mean, that's what they do, right? They dynamically deliver the answer in real time to your screen. I mean, that is magical. So companies absolutely need to do that. The fact that Google is doing it seems a little squirrely.
Right. But it gets right back to, and I think this is a great place to wrap up, this idea of, you know, you just said search is everything. We said at the beginning, search is intent. And because of the, what's that, the transitive principle, right? By definition, then intent is everything, yes, right? And that's really what we're talking about. So it's not this idea of a new thing. It's this idea of get back to the basics of intent is everything. And how do you use your marketing to support
that? Right. And how do you use the data that you have? Because you have the data to do this, right? Everybody has the data to do this. And so they just have to learn how, and shameless plug time, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're doing with our new product, right? We're doing that with Guidebox, which is, how do you take all of that data and translate it into content recommendations that really try to get at what is the intent? And so, you know, again, love to have companies come, you know, buy our tech, but regardless of what you buy, I mean, I think the example that Google presents is the model, right? How do you, you know, if all you had on your site was a search box or a mind reader, and when the page opens, the person got the answer, there's no better example of a great search experience. And I think Google's got a winning play there, but I think it's companies that have to be running that play and not Google.
That sounds like a perfect place to draw it to a close, all Steve. Right, as ever, it's great talking with you. Thanks so much, and we'll look forward to catching with you next time.
You bet. Have a great evening.
Chat is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment is a technology company focused on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to improve search results, increase customer satisfaction, and unlock revenue for your company. Solo Segment, make your search smarter. And learn more at solosegment.com. If you like what you've heard today, click on the subscribe links you can find at solosegment.com/podcast, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts can be found. You can also find us on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/company/solosegment, on Facebook at facebook.com/solosegment, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @solosegment, or you can drop us an email at info@solosegment.com. Again, that's info@solosegment.com. For Search Chat, I'm Tim Peter. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to chatting with you next time here on Search Chat. Until then, take care, everybody.